And now Bill Resnick talks with Greg Smith, anticipating the climate strike that's coming up from a very particular educator's angle. Bill?
Hi, Greg A. Smith. Welcome to KBOO. Greg has taught, consulted, and many school systems, lots of teachers and programs. He's had an important role in the development of what's called place-based education. He's got a couple of books, Education in the Environment and the Global Age, Learning to Live with Limits was his first, and then he did a book, Place-Based Education in the Global Age. It's about involving students in their localities, particularly now in the environment in their localities, the problems it faces, and how to change things, how to act politically, how to be responsible adults. So, Greg, in this interview, we'll get to the climate strike here in Portland. And Portland's, of course, just one city in thousands, perhaps, of the international climate strike. This could well be another big step, a stage in the development of an international movement, a workers' movement, to change things very, very dramatically to save their lives. And they all know about it. Greg Smith, tell us about place-based education, how it changed over time towards more environmental concerns, and how the students have changed leading to the climate strike.
Okay. Place-based education is really an effort to break down the boundaries between schools and their communities so that children have an opportunity to really kind of participate in important public institutions before they become adults, so that they have a sense of what it means to really kind of exercise their own agency and experience a sense of responsibility for the welfare of others. One of the reasons that I became really interested in advocating for this approach is that I feel as though kids in many respects are insulated from that world, don't really have an opportunity to participate in it, and are so consumed oftentimes by kind of electronic forms of entertainment that they're cut off from both the natural environment and the human environments in which they live. And that participation, I think, is really kind of critical if they're to grow into the kinds of problem solvers and involve citizens that the future is going to require of us. I think a lot of my motivation for encouraging teachers to move in this direction stems from my concerns about what's happening with regard to the environmental crisis and the social crises that exist around us, believing that many of the solutions to those problems are going to happen within the context of the communities that kids are growing up in. And unless they've really had an opportunity to begin to experience what it means to act collectively and to kind of put their heads together to try to kind of figure out how to grapple with some of the really serious challenges humanity is facing now, they're going to be ill-prepared to deal with the difficulties that we're going to be facing in the coming decades. One of those difficulties, of course, being related to climate change, but only one. But it's an important one that really is going to be essential to deal with very shortly if we're going to hope to have much of a civilization at all by the end of the century.
Yeah, they have to deal with them in their local community, to be sure. And they realize, I think, that their local community, however big it is, in fact, or even their country, however big it is, that will not solve the problems that they're facing. Kids today are living in a world where they realize that we have this huge international problem that could kill us all or create enormous amounts of misery in the next who knows what. They see all these changes going on. They see the fires, the Arctic melting, all the rest of it. Life has really been in many ways immersed with the change in the climate, the changes in the atmosphere, the changes in the land. I have the sense that they know they have to change their community, but it has to be part of a world community.
Yeah.
It seems to me that they're way sophisticated beyond what we were when we were growing up.
So I would say I'm in complete agreement that the climate change really is a global issue. And I think like one of the challenges in our particular era is that most of our major institutions at the state, national, and planetary levels are so dependent upon the perpetuation of practices that are creating the climate change, that the kind of action that's going to need to happen cannot really easily take place at that level because the power holders have such a stake in the way things are. And so that's where like organizing at the local level becomes so important, particularly if each community begins to see itself as a part of a community of communities. And I think it's one of the advantages of the internet today that it really is possible to establish communication across those communities in a way that would not have been possible in the past, and also possible for people to kind of organize in the way that this current climate strike is being organized, so that information can be, in fact, disseminated in a way that allows people to recognize their membership in this global community of communities.
Yeah, you know, the left has always thought the international working class has to rise up. It has to be an international movement. And one of the vast frustrations is that people become nationalist and become self-protective. And, of course, the ownership class mm-hmm. promotes that. And some of the great disasters for the left has been when the bosses were able to convince workers that they should stick with their country, Germany, that were being attacked by the United States and England, and we have to fight back. And right. that nationalism has seized parts of the working class and made it really difficult to mount a international movement. But today, it seems to me there's just no basis for that. I think the people today, the kids today and students today, they understand that this has to be an international movement mm-hmm. and that they have to prevail on their political class, these political elites who are blinded by, I mean, it's pathological really that the elites of the United States are not dealing with a clear and present problem that is destroying the planet. It's a pathology of capitalist ideology as well as their rewards that they get. The students see that. They do see it. In fact, this attack on adults, you're leaving us a world that's getting destroyed. That's the mm-hmm. first paragraph of their declarations.
And I would say that the impact that Greta Thunberg, the young woman in Sweden, has had on students around the world kind of really speaks to the way in which that awareness is growing. And I would say also the students who were involved in the Juliana case against the federal government, really saying that the state has a responsibility to make sure that the climate and the environment that kids are inheriting will allow them to live decent lives. And I think that voice from young people is really resonating across the planet in significant ways. I think it's important, though, for young people and this particular movement to recognize that we also have got to put our heads together to look at ways in which we can respond positively to these challenges. There was actually an interesting article in the New York Times this morning written by a German commentator who was saying, yeah, all that Greta Thunberg and the student strikes are saying is absolutely critical, but we need to move beyond just the crisis to really look at like how young people can be brought together to begin enacting different kinds of changes in policy, but also technological inventions needed to actually respond to these kinds of challenges.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that he's learned that from the students.
Right.
The student declarations, their resolutions, and they've talked about before the Green New Deal mm-hmm. term was coined, there are all of these things that have to be done. I've read some of the declarations, and they're somewhat changed because there's so many groups working on them from so many countries. But they have this commonality saying the adults have failed us, they are not doing it, and we have all the technologies off the shelf necessary to be able to deal with the problem. There are some technical innovations that are required, like better storage, renewable energy. There are some of those things that are not in that have to be done a little bit better to be more efficient. But they talk about all of the things that have to be done, regenerative agriculture, public transportation, changing our cities, eating a whole lot less meat, reforestation, saving the rainforest. I mean, they really know, and they know there's technologies to do it. I think that they, whoever the New York Times guy was, I think he's... He doesn't give them credit for Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, Bernie Sanders, which is even more radical in some ways, or more specific at least about the energy, how we have to change the energy system. It seems to me what those programs have done is create a three-page outline of all the things that have to be done internationally. This is Cable Radio 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here talking to Gregory A. Smith, who is, for many years has developed place-based education, which a very important component is now environmental education, kids learning about the environment of their neighborhoods. But we've been talking about how the students today know their communities must change, but so must all communities change, and it has to be an international effort. Greg, tell us about what's happening in Portland and how people can get involved.
I would say that the climate strike that's happening next week, or actually 2 weeks from now, provides an opportunity to actually make your concerns visible. There will be a strike on September 20th, Friday, meeting at 10:30 at the Portland City Hall, then walking across Hawthorne Bridge to OMSI, where there will be a climate festival that will happen for the rest of the day. There are a number of different events that are scheduled for the following week as well, and similar strikes happening around the state and actually around the world. And at this point in time, it seems really imperative to demonstrate to our elected representatives that there is a broad coalition of citizens who are deeply concerned about these issues, to basically give our representatives the kind of go-ahead and courage to really kind of take a strong position with regard to the enactment of legislation that is kind of aimed at really grappling with these kinds of issues, as the Clean Energy and Jobs Bill last year did at the state, which unfortunately was not enacted into law, but that the voters' approval of the Clean Energy Fund for Portland really is kind of opening up possibilities in this city that are not available in other places. And so when our elected representatives see that there is this kind of large-scale support, can really make a difference in terms of the changes in public policy needed to really begin to kind of grapple with these concerns. So I hope that people will take advantage of this opportunity that has largely been organized by students and really support them in their efforts to take the steps needed to protect the environment and their communities for themselves looking into the future.
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting innovation, too. It's students and others who are organizing actions that then become part of the larger action, like feeder marches and all the rest. It's hard to know how many will occur during that day. And then a lot of students have walked out of classes and led little marches to the larger march. But many students are just going to skip the school day and come down at 10:30 at City Hall.
Yeah, and it would be great to have as many adults down there as possible. I kind of imagine what it would be like if the marches next 2 weeks from today were as large as the Women's March in 2017.
adults should, really, it's incumbent on us to support that march. And it's also going to be sort of a glorious celebration. It's not just a critique, it's a celebration, right, and demonstration. I think there's going to be booths across the river.
Right at OMSI, yeah.
And all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And it will be celebratory, is my sense. I'm
yes.
sure it will be.
Yeah.
And with music and all kinds of, you know, youth are really good at figuring those things out.
No, yes.
They're all producers. Greg Smith, so good talking to you again. Thank you.
My pleasure, Bill. Always fun to have a chat with you.